y'all feeling, family? Oof. I am still trying to get myself together. I was in the back crying like Steph Curry, man. I don't know why y'all did me like that. Y'all did me dirty. I love y'all. I'm so grateful to lead this church. It's hard. It stretches us. It challenges us. But there is nothing better than belonging to God and to His people. So thank you everyone who recorded that, everyone who didn't get a chance to record it but feels similarly, everyone who calls this church home, who supports this ministry. Thank you all. We wouldn't be here without you. On that note, happy Father's Day, fellas. Happy Father's Day, fellas. Today we honor all of the men who play the important role of father in our lives, whether they birthed us, whether they raised us, whether they rebirthed us, whether they mentored us, believed in us, took a liking to us, gave us an opportunity. Thank you for showing your sons how to become men. Thank you for showing your daughters what a real man looks like. Amen. And to my father, dad, you've been mom and dad and everything in between since I was 9. And only God knows what we've been through together. The stuff that we've endured, the times that we didn't know how we were gonna make ends meet, sleeping on the floor, wondering where our next meal was gonna come from. And every day when I woke up, I knew that if I didn't have anything else, I had a man who loved me, who was gonna protect me and do whatever he could to provide for me. I wouldn't be the man I am today, the dad I am today, the husband, the father, and the leader I am without you, Dad. So happy Father's Day, I love you. I hope I made you proud. And I would be remiss to not also mention my spiritual father, Pastor Ken Huge. Thank you, Pastor Ken, for your wisdom, your guidance, your love, your leadership, your example. You've helped me navigate the toughest years of my life in ministry. And I would not still be leading this church if it wasn't for you. So thank you. Happy Father's Day. Can we just take a minute to celebrate all the fathers and father figures in our lives? Can we do that? Oh, you got one. You got one. I mean, listen, even if your dad was trash, you got a heavenly father. Can we celebrate him? We all can celebrate our heavenly father. Yeah, yeah, amen, 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 amen. Well, listen, family, I hope you're ready for this word because I'm taking a quick detour from our Union with Christ series to talk about and celebrate manhood. Yeah, I said it. I said it. Today we are celebrating manhood. We're celebrating manhood because manhood is worth celebrating. Are all men worth celebrating? No. Is manhood worth celebrating? Yes. And ladies, where my ladies at? Ladies, let me hear you. Ladies, where my ladies? Ladies, even though we're talking about manhood today, don't tune out. I need you to tap in. I need you to tap in because this message is just as important for you as it is for your brother sitting next to you. Because ladies, you were created by a man. You are related to a man. You will work alongside a man. You will be in relationship with a man. You will marry a man. Somebody say, hurry up, Lord. Some say, hey, Lord, where he at, though? Where he at, though? I've been praying. I've been looking when he coming. Can you Amazon Prime him, Jesus? I mean, if Amazon could get it to me in 2 days, what's up, Lord? Where he at, though? And maybe, ladies, one day you'll raise a man. So you need this message just as much as any man sitting here today. Amen? Amen. Well, today I'm in the book of Joshua. If you can, you can turn me to Joshua chapter 1, one of my favorite verses, chapters in the whole Bible. I'm going to read chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 9. If you dare say amen, if you're looking for Joshua, just go to Genesis and turn right. All right. Are we there? All right, we out. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and, somebody say, very. Very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you on this Father's Day that regardless of the example of a man we were given, we have a heavenly Father that we can praise and celebrate all of the days of our lives. Heavenly Father, today is your day. Every day is Father's Day. Every day is the day that we get to get up and give our Father praise. And every day is the day we get to get up and thank our provider, our provision, and our source, the one who loves us, the one who gave up his Son for us. And so, Father, today we celebrate you. Father, I pray that you get this dust of a man out the way, because I am a poor example of the true Father that we all have. And I want your people to see you. So hide me behind the cross. I pray that the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in our sight. Oh God, our strength and our Redeemer. Agree with that said? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. You look amazing. Happy Father's Day again. Oh, and happy Juneteenth. Holla. Can't forget that. We live in a world where masculinity is under great scrutiny. And because of that, it's easy for men to become defensive and say, it's the culture's fault why men are viewed a particular way. It's the culture's fault why we're treated and viewed so negatively. It's the culture's fault why manhood is maligned. But it's hard to look in the mirror and realize that we've done most of this damage to ourselves. I'll never forget, I was debating an atheist one time, and he was a brilliant dude. He had more degrees than a thermometer, like just, you know, one of them types. Like, you know, one of them dudes that just be studying stuff and science and stuff that I don't understand. And he had all these reasons why faith in God was bogus and why belief in the Bible was BS. And he was giving me all the logical and scientific reasons why he didn't believe in God. As I listened, I tried my best to respond, and I'm responding to this and I'm responding to that. And then at one point it dawned on me. Why are you so mad, bro? Like, why are you so mad? I mean, I don't sit around for hours and hours and hours debating people and arguing and cursing people out on social media about the fact that unicorns don't exist. I mean, I don't spend hours of my life studying unicorns and trying to prove to people that you're stupid if you believe in aliens or unicorns or any of these other things that I don't believe in. I don't waste my time doing that. If you really believe God doesn't exist, then why do you hate him so much? And it was an epiphany moment for me, because I realized his anger towards God was because he felt like if there was a God, then his life should look differently. And because he had the difficult life that he did, he took out that frustration on the people who believed in the God that he believed failed him. And the same is true with masculinity. Our society would not have the skepticism and criticism of masculinity that it has if all men were real men. But because we have as a whole, men as a category failed our sisters, daughters, and sons, the frustration many of us feel is really nobody's fault but our own. But here's the good news, men. Can I tell you the good news? Men, can I tell you the good news? The good news, men, is that we can change the narrative. There's nobody in here that can't be somebody that they weren't when they walked in. Oh, somebody say amen. We believe in a God who can transform and change anything. If he could change water into wine, surely he could change you into the man you were created to be. You don't need a degree to be a better man. You don't need more money to be a better man. You don't need a good woman. I mean, it helps though. It helps. I ain't gonna hold you. It do help. You help, baby. You help. But you don't need a good woman to be a better man. You need God. Somebody say, I need God. Somebody say, I need God. You need God to be a better man. Somebody say, amen. Amen. And God's here today to make you the man he created you to be. But here's my question. Here's the challenge. Here's the problem. Here's the issue that this text presents before us. What happens when you want to be that man, but you have no model for manhood? Well, that leads me to my first point. Somebody say this with me. No role models. There's a rapper named J. Cole who has a song entitled No Role Models. First things first, rest in peace, Uncle Phil. For real, you're the only father that I ever knew. I get my girl pregnant, I'm gonna be a better you. I'm sorry, I'm back. I'm back. And the whole point of the song is to highlight the fact that there is a shallowness in our culture, not just in his empty relationships with women, but in his own understanding of himself as a man. And the truth is, what J. Cole was highlighting in the song, No Role Models, was how difficult it is to become what you've never seen. And that's exactly where Joshua is in today's text. Look at how the first two verses of this story begins. The Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is... He dead, y'all. Now, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. This story picks up after Moses. Moses, y'all know Moses? Y'all heard of Moses? Moses, the great man of God, the great liberator, the one who led millions of people out of bondage into freedom, the great prophet who spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Moses, that man, Big Mo, Mo Money, y'all know Moses? Moses is dead. He's dead. And God turns to Joshua, who the Bible calls his aide, but in essence, is his spiritual son. God turns to Joshua, Moses' spiritual son, and he says to him, my servant Moses is dead. Now you get ready to lead these people into their promise. Write this down. What this text confronts us with is the challenge of being without seeing. See, undoubtedly on a day like today where we celebrate the good examples of fatherhood, we must also mourn the bad ones. The absent father, the emotionally unavailable father, the abusive father, the angry father, the addicted father, the man who loved his habits more than he loved building a loving home. And when we're failed so miserably by somebody we need so desperately, it creates a void in our lives that nothing can quite fill. In fact, the void of fatherhood is just as significant, and some social scientists argue more significant than the void of not having a mother. Dr. David Papineau, professor of sociology at Rutgers University, said this. He said, fathers are more than just second adults in the home. Involved fathers, especially biological fathers, bring positive benefits to their children that no other person is likely to bring. They provide protection and economic support and male role models. They have a parenting style that is significantly different from that of their mother, and that difference is important and healthy in child development. Child psychiatrist Kyle Pruitt put it like this. He said a father's more active play style and comparably slower response to a toddler or infant experiencing frustration serves to promote problem-solving competencies. You see, ladies, we actually do be trying to, you know, we don't just be letting them watch themselves. We support in problem-solving competencies. Because we don't just pick them up every time they cry and tell them it's going to be okay. We, you know, it's problem-solving competencies. We wasn't watching the game. We was problem-solving competencies. And independence in the child. In fact, studies show that 18.4 million children in America live in homes without a biological or adoptive father. And of those homes, those children are 4 times more likely to experience poverty, 7 times more likely to get pregnant as a teen, and 2 times more likely to drop out of school. They're also more likely to go to prison, abuse drugs, and experience significant behavioral problems. You could say all that I just said like this. The sign of the power of a man's presence is seen in the consequences of his absence. Without a godly example of fatherhood, children are left with a void that they'll try to fill with things to validate them. Bad relationship choices, bad decisions, young men taking the image and identity of any man that shows them love, no matter how destructive they are to them. A young girl blindly believing any man that promises her something she needs but has no intentions on delivering. And this vicious cycle all comes from this void. Moses is dead. There's no man of God to step into the gap and lead. And what do you do when there's no man to lead? God turns to Joshua, Moses' spiritual son, and he says, just because the man is gone doesn't mean the mission stops. Oh, somebody needs that today. Oh, I feel that. I feel that in my spirit for somebody sitting under the sound of my voice today. Just because that man was gone, just because that man was never there, just because that man still fails to show up for you, just because that man still fails you in ways that you need, just because that man wasn't the man he was supposed to be, that does not mean God will allow the mission to stop. This is a word for somebody under the sound of my voice. You are born looking like your daddy, but you'll die looking like your decisions. Your decisions. Your decisions. Somebody say my decisions. Somebody say my decisions. My decisions, not his decisions. Not the decisions he made for himself or for me. My decisions. My decisions determine what I become. Your daddy does not determine who you are. Your decisions do. Daddy issues are real. I just gave you all the stats. I told you all the stories. I showed you what happens when we have failed examples of manhood. That's real. But daddy issues don't excuse decision issues. All of us take showers. I hope. We got quiet. I pray the spirit of shower is covering this church. In Jesus' name. I pray scrub, 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 scrub. I pray scrub, scrub, scrub is covering this church. We all take showers. I hope. But if you've ever taken a shower, that water that washed your body flowed to you through a rusty and corroded pipe. I don't care how pretty your tub is, how nice your shower head is, the plumbing is nasty. You don't see the plumbing. It's hidden behind the wall, but it's rusty and corroded. That water had a mixture of corrosion and clarity in it, but it still washed you clean. And maybe your example of a father was crusty and corroded. But that does not mean that it still can't produce something in you that washes you clean. So God turns to Joshua and says, I want you to do something your spiritual daddy didn't do. See, as great as Moses was, all he could ever do was get Israel through the wilderness. But he couldn't get Israel into their promise. Some of us have had a daddy that did the best he could. You might look back and say, man, my dad was good at this, but he was trash at that. But the reality is that man probably had failed examples of masculinity in his own life. And the truth is, we can't give what we don't have. And Moses, as great as he was a flawed man. He was flawed. Maybe his issue was from his childhood. Maybe his issue was he wasn't Hebrew enough for the Hebrews, and he wasn't Egyptian enough for the Egyptians. Maybe his flaw was he never knew who his biological mother and father was. Maybe his flaw was he was a Hebrew boy growing up in an Egyptian world. Maybe his flaw was he didn't really understand his own ethnicity and identity. Maybe his flaw was he was wondering why his mother abandoned him and didn't fight for him. But whatever Moses' flaw was, he had anger issues. Somebody say anger issues. There's somebody who's mad right now. You mad as hell. You smile in church. You act like you good. You say God has blessed me, but you mad. You mad. Moses knows what it feels like to be mad. He knows what it feels like to have questions. And sometimes Moses' anger drove him to violence, but other times it drove him to vengeance. But regardless, his anger was ultimately his fatal flaw. It was the thing that kept him out of God's promise. And now God is calling Joshua to do something that he doesn't have a model for. And that's a problem. It's a problem because masculinity needs a model. Somebody say masculinity needs a model. Ladies, as amazing as you are, and I don't believe that there's anything a man can do that a woman cannot. I believe that if a man can preach, a woman can preach. If a man can lead a business, a woman can lead a business. If a man can lead a nation, a woman can lead a nation. I have no belief if a man can dribble a basketball, a woman can dribble a basketball. I have no belief that there is anything that a man can do that a woman cannot except one. And I may get canceled for this, but I've been canceled before. Amen. It's freeing to get canceled because now you just don't care what people think no more. I'm like, cancel me. You ain't create me, so go ahead. Have fun. Can't cancel what you can't create. I might get in trouble for this. But you know the one thing that a woman cannot do? A woman cannot teach a man how to be a man. A woman can teach a man how to love a woman. A woman can teach a man how to love God. But a woman cannot teach a man how to be a man. In the same way that a man cannot teach a little girl how to be a woman. There's a reason that God created manhood and womanhood. These are not arbitrary, antiquated social constructs. These are inherent and indelible realities that only hurt us when we don't honor them. And Joshua has to figure out how to be something he's never seen. There was a martial arts instructor named Jason Wilson. Have y'all heard of Jason Wilson? He went viral a few years ago. He was a martial arts instructor who had there was a situation where the kid was breaking a board, a young child, and it was a young boy. He was trying to break the board, and he couldn't break it. And at one point, he broke down and started crying. And Jason Wilson got on his knees. He says, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because I'm scared." The young boy says, "I'm scared." And he said, "It's okay to be scared. I'm scared of things all the time. But there's some things in life that scare you that will only break by the blood of Yeshua and the sweat of your brow. So get up and keep fighting." And when he was asking an interview why he does what he does, was it because you had an amazing father? Was it because you had some great example of a man? He looked at the interviewer and said, "No, I had neither." He said, "I simply give my kids what I long for." Oh my God, that was good. If God's calling you today, listen to me. If you had a failed example of a man and you don't even know what a man looks like, if God's calling you to do something that you've never seen, it doesn't mean it can't be done. It means that God is calling you to be not what you've seen, but what you've longed for. Which is why you're going to need a promise from your true father if you're going to do it. Which leads me to my second and final point. Somebody say this with me. Masculinity leaves a legacy. Amen. God turns to Joshua and says, "I know what I'm calling you to do is hard. I know it's scary. I know I'm asking you to be what you did not see. But here's what you need to know. Ready? I will give you every place you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory is going to extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to Euphrates to the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one," somebody say no one, No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. That's as long as you live. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, I'll give you every place you walk. Why? Because you're my legacy. Oh my God, don't miss that. Adam was God's first formed son. Jesus is, come on now, Jesus is God's only begotten son. It's the greatest son of them all. But there's a middle child named Israel. And Israel is God's first born son. You see, Adam was formed from the dirt of the ground. Israel was born through the seed of Abraham. And so God is looking at his firstborn son, and he says, I am going to give them what I promised them. I am going to give them everything that I told them that they would have. I am going to leave them my legacy. My legacy is the testimony that I was here. Your destiny is what you aspire to be, but your legacy is what you actually was. That's what it means to be a father. That's what it means to be a father. Being a father means I left something in the earth that proves that I was here. That's my legacy. See, the legacy of a father is not in how much money he made. The legacy of a father is not in how many women he had. The legacy of a father is not in how successful he was. The legacy of a father is found in the lineage he left behind. And fellas, let me help you today. Your lineage isn't just the children you naturally birth. It's also the children that you spiritually birth. So God steps in and says to Joshua, I'm going to give you every place you set your foot. You'll become what Moses was not. You'll lead my people into the land that they've never seen. And here's the kicker. No one will be able to stop you. Oh my God, I like that. I love that. God says, no one will stand against you all the days of your life. You've been stopped in the past by what you lacked. But when you understand who your true father is, when you understand who your true father is, no one will be able to stand against you. You'll fly on eagle's wings. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll renew your strength. You'll take territory back from the enemy. Men, God didn't just create us to show up. God created us to take territory. You're going to take territory back from the devil. And God says, what I want you to stand on isn't your victories. I want you to stand on my presence. I want you to build your life on this promise. I will never leave you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I won't do you like Moses. I won't do you like your earthly father. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. You can trust me. You can build your life on my love for you. And because you have the promise of your heavenly father, here's what I want you to do. Joshua, I want you to be strong and courageous. Do you understand that strength and courage comes from a promise? Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors. Joshua, where you're going is going to require strength and courage. Men, where you're going is going to require strength and courage. You can't be scared and timid anymore. You can't be complaining and complicit anymore. You can't try to find strength and courage in people anymore. You must be strong and courageous in Him. Somebody say amen. As a matter of fact, God says, be strong and very. Somebody say very. Be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from the right. Don't turn from the left so that you may be successful everywhere you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. Beloved, our Heavenly Father shows us exactly what good fathers look like. Good fathers teach you discipline. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to the right or to the left because your success depends on it. Good fathers teach you good habits. Good fathers teach you good habits. He says, meditate on the book of the law day and night. In fact, one of the most underappreciated and overlooked aspects of a father is the stability he brings to his family. Good fathers are stabilizers of the home. Men, you were created to be a stabilizer. Do you understand that? That your presence provides stability for your children and your wife and your home. Your presence holds things up. You hold things together. This is why God, when he formed the man, he put him to sleep and he pulled the woman from the man. But what you first put in the ground is a foundation. You see the lights and chandeliers of this place, but you don't see its foundation. The foundation is what holds everything together. It's what stabilizes the home. When you don't have a strong example of a man, you have an unstable home. You have a home with chaos and violence and abuse and all kind of things can run crazy. Men, you are called to change that narrative. Where my dogs at? I don't hear y'all. Where my dogs at? I need to hear y'all. That's what I'm talking about. And God is teaching Joshua how to be a stable man. Not unstable like Moses. As great as Moses was, he was unstable. He's teaching him how to be a stable man. And lastly, good fathers encourage confidence in their children. God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Why? Because even when life looks discouraging, you have a daddy that's with you everywhere you go. You see, fatherhood on earth is a coin flip. You might get a good dad, you might not. You might get a good husband, you might not. You might get a great example of a man, or you might not. But what God has done to counteract the inconsistencies of humanity is he sent his son. Oh my God. And Jesus not only embodies true divinity, he also embodies true masculinity. He teaches God's broken sons, bless you, what a real man looks like. He teaches God's broken sons that a real man is about his father's business. That a real man empowers women and gives them a seat at the table right next to the man. That a real man protects and provides for the vulnerable. That a real man loves the little ones and teaches them God's ways. That a real man lays down his life for his bride. That's what real men do. Real men go to the cross first. Real men sacrifice first. Real men die first. Real men serve first. Real men give first. Real men show up first. That's what a man does. But Jesus also teaches God's broken daughters that they should never allow a man in their lives who is less than all of the above. A man who is less than this is not a man. Ladies, I need you to hear me. A man that is less than this is not a man. He's a confused boy. And there's countless boys with facial hair that women are complaining about, that I counsel our women about every week, and countless women are complaining about men, but that's not because they're men, it's because they're boys with facial hair. That's why all of the men and all of the women under the sound of my voice need Jesus. Because Jesus gives birth to a new humanity and a redeemed masculinity. I'm about to close on this. Will all men look like Jesus? Of course not. But because we have Jesus, we can't ever say again that we can't be what we can't see. Both men and women under the sound of my voice have Jesus. And Jesus leaves us with no excuse not to do better. So today, look to him, the author and perfecter of not just our faith, but our understanding of ourselves. And let Jesus reshape your understanding of masculinity, but also your understanding of who God is calling you to be. Will all the men and women under the sound of my voice just bow their heads with me as we ask God to bless the men of this house, to turn us into kingdom men, not church men, kingdom men. Father, there's a difference between a church man and a kingdom man. And I don't want to lead a church full of church men. I don't want to lead a bunch of Christians. I want to lead a bunch of believers. I want to lead people who actually believe the stuff that the Bible says. I want to lead people who actually believe in loving their wives as Christ loved the church. I want to lead a church full of people who actually believe that God's call to a man is to be the first into battle. That's what headship is. God, I don't want to lead a church group of men. I want to lead a kingdom move of men. I want to lead men who want to go out and transform Harlem, who want to change their neighborhood, who want to love their neighbors, who want to serve their women, who want to serve their children, who want to serve this church, who want to serve their community, who want to serve you. I want to lead generous men who tithe and sow into your kingdom. I want to lead men who sacrifice their time to serve and don't complain about it, because they know that's what you've called them to as a man. That they don't got to look at other men or even women and say, well, why are they not doing it? No, you called me to do it because you gave me the example, Jesus. That they don't look to people but look to Christ as the example of who they're called to be. That's the type of men I want to lead. That's the type of men I will lead, because that's the type of men this church will produce. Father, I'm speaking prophetically over our men now. I pray that you break off any bondage of boyhood, that you break the chains of youthful arrogance and ignorance, that you break off the chains of anger and failed examples of a man and what we didn't get from our daddy or our granddaddy. You know, Lord, the thing you've revealed to me in this whole process is Jesus might be in our heart, but our daddy's in our bones. And for many of us, we can't even understand why we are the way we are, but you will if you look at your daddy or your granddaddy or your great-granddaddy. He's in your bones. And so, Lord, I pray that you will not only be in our heart, but that you will be in our bones. That you will be in every part of our lives as you turn us into kingdom men. I'm praying that for our ladies, that our ladies will get a chance to say, at my church, I can't speak for everybody else's church. I can't speak for every other man that you may have met, sis, but at my church, we got a bunch of kingdom men here. We got men who love Jesus and love us and love this church. They look after us. They make sure we're okay. They don't take advantage of us. They love on us. They're clear with us. They're honest with us. They don't lead us astray. They don't lie to us. They don't hit us with the okie doke. They really love this. They really bout this life. And God, as you do all of that, I pray that you get the glory out of what this church becomes. God, we ask all of these things in Jesus' matchless name. Thank you, Jesus, for being what we could not see. May we follow you all the days of our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen.